Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. This is episode 5 of Truth and Circumstances. We're going to pick up where we left off last time, answering the question, I'm attracted to someone at work, and I think they're attracted to me. As a married person, how far should I allow that relationship to develop? And Greg, last week we ended talking about recognizing the danger. This week, let's pick up with what it may look like to flee immorality and pursue righteousness with others.
Yeah, we've got a constant dynamic in the... It's not just in the New Testament. I almost said it's in the New Testament, but we find it in the Old Testament too, where we're told to stop doing one thing and start doing another thing. Put off the old self, put on the new self. Flee immorality and pursue righteousness with others. And so that, of course, is going to be the key with this as well. The short answer to the question that we're dealing with, how far should I let this relationship develop? The short answer to that question is not at all. You should not allow that relationship to develop at all. 2 Timothy 2:22 reads, so flee youthful passions. So that's the put off. The put on is pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So first we'll deal with the putting off, and then we'll talk about the putting on here in just a second. What does it mean to flee immorality in this situation? I would say as much as possible, avoid contact with that person.
What if you have to work closely with that person, though?
Okay, if you and you know, we could say, what if this person is your next door neighbor? The same kind of situation. Well, if you have to interact, like if you have to interact at work, I would say keep it strictly professional. If you can't keep it strictly professional, then do whatever is necessary to get out of the situation. In Matthew 5, Jesus talks about if your right hand causes you to sin, do what?
Cut it off.
Cut it off, right. Yeah, go hostile on that right hand, right? If your right eye causes you to sin, you do what?
Gouge it out.
You gouge it out. Get serious with this. We call that radical amputation. You want to remove yourself from the source of that temptation, right? So in this situation, if you can't deal with it, if you can't act professionally, if you can't control that desire, then that means transfer, get another job, change careers. That sounds crazy drastic. That is not drastic at all.
Sure.
When you think about all of the pain and damage that you can and will cause to your family, to yourself, to the family of that other person, and most importantly, to the reputation of Christ, if you are to continue down that road and allow something to happen. There's just nothing too drastic to prevent the destruction of your marriage and testimony.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's why there are these numerous things back in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 that we were talking about last time. In Proverbs 5, 8, he says to his sons, keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of your house. That's just the Old Testament's way of saying, flee from youthful passions. Proverbs 6:25, do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. That is, don't give yourself an opportunity. Proverbs 7:25-27, let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Again, these are all ways that the Old Testament tells us, flee away from that, have nothing to do with it, cut it off. Do whatever's necessary to get away from it.
Isn't it great how directly the Scriptures address these things? I mean, word for word.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, and the scriptures are far more direct and far more drastic than we would tend to be.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think some people may have the temptation to think that if they can overcome, okay, I'm not going to cut myself off. I'm going to be holy enough to continue a relationship and stop feeling this ways. And you're saying it, that don't even mess around with that. You're unaware of how weak you really are if you're thinking that way.
Oh, yeah. You cannot afford half measures or quarter measures when it comes to this. If you find that trying to put boundaries in place at work is not working for you, then you need to do something really drastic. Mm-hmm. And again, changing careers, taking a pay cut, those things... That is such a small thing.
Absolutely.
to preserve your testimony in your marriage. It should be a no-brainer, but I've seen situations where people sacrificed their marriage and their testimony in order to stay in a job, and it ended up destroying their lives, just like Proverbs predicts.
Yeah. Well, fourthly, Greg, we got to tell someone.
Absolutely. This is the pursue righteousness with others part. So we read a second ago in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful passions, that's the put off, then pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. That's the pursue righteousness with others part. So we want to tell someone that you trust who will be willing to walk with us through this and help us. You may have heard it said that the sin that stays in the darkness will only continues to grow.
Yeah.
So you've got to drag it kicking and screaming out into the light. So this is probably the most important thing that you can do is to tell somebody about this.
It's going to require a pretty big dose of humility.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you know what? I think that if you choose the right person... Somebody who has a healthy view of their own depravity and a healthy view of the gospel, they're not going to slap you around or put you down or anything like that, but they're going to realize, yes, of course you're a sinner and I'm a sinner too, and
right.
Of course we're going to walk together through this. I think people fear this kind of a conversation much more than they need to. And I just, like here at Providence, we've got this place is crawling with people that would walk through this kind of thing with others in just the right way.
Yeah.
We have only to ask one another to do it. So
absolutely.
But it can be a difficult thing to do, and I would dare to say that you can do that first thing that we talked about last time, get into the scriptures. You can do the second thing, which is recognize the danger. You can do the third thing, flee immorality. If you don't do this fourth thing, tell somebody, that is, get another person involved, you will not succeed in dealing with this temptation. Because as we talk about all the time here at Providence, there are these three tools of sanctification that the Lord has given us: the Bible, prayer, and fellowship with other saints. If we try to leave one of those legs off the stool is going to fall over. Mm-hmm. So telling someone about the struggle that you have and not allowing the Lord to use other believers to help you with that, you're leaving one of the tools of sanctification that he's given you off to the side, and you just won't succeed. You will not be able to fight that temptation. So it's imperative that you tell somebody.
Sure. What about telling your spouse? Do you recommend that, Greg?
I'd say that depends. It depends on where you are in this attraction. If it's just at the attraction stage, and in other words, nothing has happened, you've not communicated with this person, it's just that you've recognized that you're attracted to this person might be attracted to you. It probably depends on whether or not your spouse is able to handle that kind of information. Some spouses can handle that, some spouses aren't. I had a seminary professor who he and his wife were very open about this kind of thing, and they could both handle it. It didn't bother them to hear this about one another. And anytime he was around a woman that he was attracted to, he would immediately tell his wife, and he would say, "Hey, you need to watch me around so-and-so because I find her very attractive." And that didn't bother his wife at all. But he said that whenever he would do that, it would immediately cause that temptation to die. But his wife could handle that. There are other wives who their hearts are so hurt and bothered by that I would say that if it's just at an attraction thing and nothing has happened, then it may be better to get a same-sex brother or sister to carry that with you. Tell them about it so that they can hold you accountable. Now, if that attraction has crossed the line into an inappropriate relationship of any kind, and I would say any kind of physical contact at all, any kind of emotional, where like you're having conversations with this person where it's open that you're into each other, I think you got to tell your spouse, okay? But now we're kind of getting into a topic for another time, okay?
Yeah.
So should you tell your spouse? I think it depends. Yeah, it probably depends.
Sure. So what about telling the person you're attracted to? Now, you just gave the scenario if it reached a certain point. Obviously, you've told that person, but if it hasn't reached that point, should you tell that person you're attracted to, that you are attracted to them?
Under no circumstances should you ever reveal your feelings to that person.
Probably to avoid that final stage,
yeah,
so to say.
Because I think, was it last time that we talked about the delusional male?
You know,
who can convince himself that any woman is interested in him.
Sure.
See, let's pretend you're not that delusional male and she actually is interested in you. Once you tell her that you're interested and she reciprocates, well, then it's on. I mean, that's when the temptation really starts. Or if you're a woman, men are so easy that, like, if a woman tells a man that she's interested in him, even if he wasn't before, he might then be at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I do.
So don't ever tell that person that you're interested in them.
Sure.
Tell someone else. Yeah.
Well, fifthly, cultivate greater intimacy with your spouse.
Cultivate greater intimacy with your spouse. There's a great portion of Proverbs 5 that deals with this. So in the midst of all of these warnings to recognize the danger of chasing after illicit sexual relationships, right in the middle of Proverbs 5, there is this exhortation to delight in the source of sexual satisfaction that God has given you in your marriage. So listen to Proverbs 5, verses 15 through 19. He says, "Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love." That is a command to be into your spouse. That's a command to be intoxicated sexually with the love of your spouse. And we find that same kind of thing in the New Testament, don't we? I've just written a blog series on our blog about what I called the unacceptable sexual sin, which is depriving your spouse of sexual intimacy. And we spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 7. Is that right? 1 Corinthians 7, yes. Which talks about the fact that God has given spouses to one another for this very thing, to help us avoid sexual temptation. So We've got Old Testament pointing us in this direction. We've got the New Testament pointing us in this direction, saying, look, here is God's remedy for sexual temptation outside your marriage. Cultivate sexual intimacy inside your marriage. Enjoy one another.
Right.
be intoxicated with one another. That's really strong language.
Oh, yeah. It brings back memories to an Old Testament survey with Denny Burke. Yeah. We went over these verses, and majority of us were not married. It was very awkward because it's so straightforward.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's very straightforward. These are much better verses to read when you're married.
Sure.
Yeah. But God has given spouses to one another, among other reasons, to help deal with sexual temptation. And so we would be nuts to not use that God-given resource to deal with that temptation. So clearly, we want to cultivate greater sexual intimacy. And those who have not read that blog series can get on our blog, providencebiblefellowship.com, and read that series. But not only cultivate sexual intimacy, but you want to broaden your intimacy in every relationship of your life. Broaden your relationship spiritually, so you know that you're doing family worship, you're praying together, you're sharing your concerns with one another, you're talking about things other than work. Although that's a good thing to talk about, but you're talking about things other than kids. You talk about heart things, you know.
Sure.
My wife and I, Shelby, we have lunch every Monday where we just catch up, you know, and we settle accounts, so to speak. So like we go over our calendar, we make sure that we know what's going on in each other's lives that week, what's coming up. We talk about what's concerning one another, and then we have an opportunity, you know, if we have anything that needs to be cleared, we need to clear the air with one another on anything, we have that opportunity. But I think that has helped us to feel like we're staying fresh.
Sure.
All of the time. And then throughout the week, every chance we get, we're pulling time here and there to get alone and just talk about stuff. So broaden every area of your life, and become good friends with your spouse. That is going to do a whole lot to kill any temptation outside your marriage, because there will be no drive for anything.
Yeah, this last point seems to be, I mean, if you're cultivating your marriage, in large part, the temptation to even look, let's say, it sounds like it probably killed that entirely. And a lot of these scenarios that we talked about probably are arising from the fact that you're not cultivating intimacy with your wife, or you're not working hard at your relationship.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we probably could have gone at this question another way and maybe done like the screw tape letters version and say, how could I go about creating an atmosphere where I might go about having an affair? And so we could have said, neglect your spouse would be a great first step.
Oh, yeah.
Isolate yourself from other believers and don't tell them about any temptation in your life. Isolate yourself from the scriptures. Put yourself in situations where you're going to be tempted all the time. If you want to destroy your life, then neglect your spouse and your marriage relationship. Don't tell other people in the church. Don't tell people that you trust about the things that you're struggling with, your temptations. And stay out of the Word and don't pray.
Hmm.
And it'll happen every time. You'll fall into sin every time. Guaranteed.
Sure.
So just stay in the Word. Stay in close relationships with other believers. Cultivate that godly, broad, intimate relationship with your spouse. And just do things God's way.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this has helped a lot of people. Thanks again for tuning in.
Absolutely.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.